So the one beautiful part of this naat that he read was where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the people gathered in front of him. So he says, كَانَ مِنْ عَفْوِهِ. From among the most unique signs of how he would forgive is at the time when he met all those people who for years and years had oppressed him. And then he just said, أَنْتُمُ الطُّلَقَةُ. That everyone goes free. He said the whole Makkah Mukarramah free in 1 second. In 1 second, whatever pain there was, hurt there was, and there was definitely hurt. Because how they hurt him, others never got hurt so much. He got hurt the most. But when they were entering Makkah Mukarramah, it was another that said, today is Yawmul Mal'ama. Today is the day our swords will go through flesh. Because you want to take out that pain. It's not easy. When we visited Syria, that was one of the things they told. The hardest is when they took over the country, the leader said, no one takes revenge. He says, it's so hard because for so many years, what you lived with, that pain, the amount of friends you saw killed, your brother killed, your wife could have been killed, your daughter killed. And now in a miraculous manner you enter and you're just entering and entering. And the next day you're like shocked, we took over the country. Now the gun is in your hand. Now naturally you can go around and you can just say, you. Because people worked for the hukumat, for the previous regime. There were those who killed, there were those who worked. When you want to take revenge, you want to shoot everyone. You want to take out that pain. And then the law comes with no revenge. No revenge. So when they just told us that, you can understand that pain, the man who's saying it is saying it. That he needed something to vent that anger. But the law came. And they explained one of the things that they had learned while preparing for the takeover. For 5 years they had dars. One of the things they had in Dars is when the Amir will order, no matter how hard it will be on the nafs, it will be full obedience. And he said the day for the practical came on that day, when the command said no revenge. And it was no revenge. Later on they would give rules that if they would find someone who was responsible for killing, he would go to a court. If the judges would find him guilty, then he would be taken. And when those people were then killed, it took out that pain. And still till today, when they are bringing those people, you can just see how the whole town comes out. And they're like so excited because they know this man was behind my whole family being killed. And when they see that one person, it like takes out all the pain from them. But again, before that person is killed, they always have someone important who comes to make an announcement. That remember, this is not an issue of revenge. But this is establishing the deen of Allah. This is establishing the deen of Allah. Where Allah commanded it must happen like that, we're doing it like that. See, this is not just a matter of revenge. It is establishing the deen of Allah. That qisas is part of the deen. And then in qisas he says, so the man who speaks normally before they do it, he says, the qisas is the decision of Allah. For Allah wanted the pain of our mothers. Because more than the fathers, it's the mothers. The pain of the mothers where they saw their children butchered. And then you see everyone, they just see, and one person dies and like that pain just comes up. Now when it comes out after so long, remember on that day, when they just took over the city, on that day, there could have been so much of pain. Because now after so long, one person and you see the whole city gets happy. That day, one command came, no revenge. On the day when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered as a conqueror, he said, أَنْتُمُ الطُّلَقَةُ. Forget it all. For his sahaba, how hard it must have been. For him, how hard it must have been. Just forget it all. أَنْتُمُ الطُّلَقَةُ. So sometimes when we read Naats and we praise, that's why I ask, you know the meaning. So the purpose of praising Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also. Allah's Nabi was not a man who enjoyed praise. He was not a man who enjoyed praise. When people would praise him, he would only allow them to praise him for two reasons. One is that Allah loved him and Allah loves him. So naturally the one who praises the beloved of Allah gains the happiness of Almighty. So a lot of people know that one, that Allah loves to see his Nabi praised. And because of that one, many people in the world, they enjoy that one the most. Meaning, if they have a gathering, then they will say, we'll have a gathering of nazams and naats. So people enjoy that, they'll all come. And now they will hear a naat being sung, they don't know what it means. Sometimes the reader doesn't know what it means. But because it sounds nice, you'll actually see, we saw it when we were in Pakistan. The best is when people start throwing money. They actually take out money and they throw. If you're in South Africa, they'll throw fake money. They actually fake. And the one reading the Nazm, you can see his eye is on that money, but he's acting like he got ikhlas. But his eye is on that money, and no one steal my money. Because you got money all around. And he's acting like he's not looking, but he is looking, that all of that is mine. That before I finish, somehow, that one is too close to that guy, that he might stitch. So he tries to get it a little bit closer to him, but all of that is his, and he gets a good amount. And if he don't get, so naturally when the first person takes out to throw, so sometimes I would really think that actually he told that first guy, that what I get, you get 10%. Because when that first guy takes out to throw, according to his note, the other people, your love for Rasulullah is judged, how much you are paying. So the first person, if he takes out 100, you can't take out 10 riyal. Because it means you only love Allah's Nabi so much. 10 riyal. He praised Allah's Nabi. Take out 500. And now everyone now has to be ready to match that first amount. So if that amount, first guy starts with a big amount, so that's why I always think that guy told him, I'll give you 10%. Because whatever he starts with, it only goes higher after that. We went to one jalsa in India. So first I wasn't very thrilled with the system, but then we realized how else, those madaris are very poor. And in such places we went to, in that place, there were people who became murtad. But because no one goes there. Now a very great sheikh came. So everyone comes to meet him. Even the murtads came. Even the murtads. Murtads means they left Islam. But they heard a great sheikh came. They also came for the program. They sat for the program. They came to make salam. They put their heads in front. They had become Hindu. They put your hand on my head also. I came for blessings. So in such a place now you got a madrasa. So a lot of poverty. So in that madrasa, when they have the jalsa, one of the main things of the jalsa is to appreciate the students. So how you appreciate them? When that boy reads, so a kirat example, he's reading kirat because he was the best reader. So when he reads, after he reads, the man who's what is called like an MC, coordinator, on his phone, he starts getting messages. So already the number is like there. So and so person, he has given this man a gift of so much. And so much from this family. And so much from that family. And so much from that family. And the messages start coming. And it takes him a while to just count. Like, okay, so much rupees, so much rupees, so much rupees. And that reader gets like, he's counting. Okay, I'm getting a good amount. That's the only money maybe he gets in the whole year. The poor boys. Then the one comes to read the nazam, then he collects. If he reads a good nazam, he gives a bayan of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you got the phone ready there. I can start that one, imagine. The boy reads and I say, right, he collected so much today. So we will never do it, but in that village, those boys only chance of seeing money. And you can just see like that boy is looking like ikhlas, but you can just see that smile. And I got so much money. Some people actually say three kurtas for him. Three kurtas. For that boy, three new kurtas are a lot of money. Then you will hear one person say, a dish set, and another person say, from my shop, he will get the siren. Nice madrasa life, isn't it? So only money they get, whole year. Then you hear a person saying, then for each ustad, I'm giving so many rupees. Each ustad, the principal gets so much, each ustad gets. Then another one comes, and the whole jalsa is that. So every program finishes, and again announcement is made. So much money for this one, this one. And in the ending, the main MC's job is to count how much people are owing and how much like, and that's how they come. So at that time, you see like the love people have for the name Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They don't even know what's happening in some of those Arabic nazms, but they just know it's a naat for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the name Muhammad is said, everyone starts. So that's one. That one, South Africa also got it. If there's a naat jalsa, there's a kirat jalsa, then the qari comes, they'll pay a lot for the qari. And no one feels it. They'll pay him, not they won't throw the money to him, they'll pay him behind the back. Meaning behind the scenes, they'll pay it and they feel it's no problem, it's Allah's Quran. So that level, alhamdulillah, is a very good level. There's nothing wrong with that. But you never ever get stuck on that level. There has to be one more level. The one more level is that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not happy to just see a sahabi praising him. Even a sahabi. Oh Allah's Nabi, you are like this. Oh Allah's Nabi, you are like this. It was never enough. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the servant of Allah. He wasn't bothered about people praising him. He was abd. His entire mission was that the world must be the slave of Allah. The world must be the slave of Allah. Now because he was the slave, in everything he wanted that you be like me. You be like me. So even in praising, even in a jalsa, when the person would read a naat, his more desire would be that praise me how I was, because I want you to be like that. Praise me how I was, because you must be like that. So example, we'll read the naat, and that's why we read Quran, that's why we read, that's why we have a jalsa. So you say, beautiful reading. The reader is saying, so you also read that. You also must read that. Beautiful reading. And then what a beautiful meaning. I must be that, you must be that. If the meaning is so beautiful, what about us? Because Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's main mission in life was that all of us must be lillah. Total, total servants of Allah. So he allowed his life to come in front of the world. How his wives sometimes shouted him. Even that came in front. We did the narration today where Umar radiallahu anhu was speaking, or yesterday or 2 days ago, Umar radiallahu anhu was discussing something. So he says, while we were in Makkah Mukarramah, we never even, while in the time of ignorance, he says, in the time of ignorance, we never even thought women are important. He says, now when we came to Medina Munawwara and Allah revealed so many verses, so now they had their rights, their inheritance, they were given prominence. So he says, one day I'm thinking of some matter. That how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? So he says, so my wife tells me, do it like this. And sometimes the wives are right, but we don't like it. So Umar radiallahu anhu told her, since when you started giving mashwara? Like your job is in the kitchen. What you know about this? These are big issues. So she got angry and she said, you don't talk too much. It's just that you don't like anyone to tell you anything. Meaning you want to tell everyone. You don't like anyone to tell you. She said, don't think you're too big, because Allah's Nabi, his wives tell him. And sometimes they tell him and the whole day he remains upset about it. And Umar Adan said, can never be. So she said, and amongst his wives is your daughter. So you're shouting me, your wife, go shout your daughter. Umar said, can't be. And he goes straight to his daughter and he says, I heard that sometimes you all talk back. And then Allah's Nabi remains upset the whole day. Can't be. And his daughter said, that's how it is. Now imagine. So Umar gets like shocked. It was the time where the total laws of hijab weren't revealed. So he says, immediately I go. My daughter is like young. I go to Ummu Salama radiallahu anha. She was like the most mature of the wives. And because they had like a family relation of the same clan, so I immediately go to Ummu Salama to say, you know what I heard? She's also a wife. So trying to tell her that, you know what, you better tell the other wives behave. She says, you know what I heard? The wives do this. Like, she will say, how can they do that? So Ummu Salama, she also was doing that. She was a wife. And a wife is a wife. So she told Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, you interfere too much. You now started interfering in our private lives also. Meaning between husband and wife, you got no place in there. He says, she told me such a word, she cut me down. That anger also went away, disappeared. Like, I got shocked. Like, since when you started interfering in our matters? Yeah, marriage story. So much. He says, then Allah revealed. Then Allah revealed verses to tell the wives that, you know what, take it easy. You all are pushing so much. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never. Umar radiallahu anhu couldn't manage it. Almighty Allah revealed verses. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I warned you all. I warned you all, you're overdoing it. But during that entire time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, for himself, never told his wife, do you know I am the Nabi of Allah? And it's possible if I am upset, Allah could be upset. He never told. But now why he allowed that whole narration to come? I mean, in that narration, Umar radiallahu anhu looks bad. The wives also look bad. Especially when Umar becomes right. Allah reveals verses, say, he's right, you wrong. Ummu Salama looks bad when she told him, stop interfering in our marriage. Everyone is looking bad at us. Why did the whole narration come? The whole narration came to show us that how Allah's Nabi was. How Allah's Nabi was. And he allowed it. And then a husband has to think, am I like that? And obviously we're not like that at all. Allah's Nabi is our mirror. One mirror is the one we just heard today. That kana min afwihi. From amongst his forgiving nature, when the people came in front of him, he said, you are set free. You are set free. Hazrat Maulana Masihullah of Jalalabad was like this. He was a man of a very soft nature. Soft nature. So now when you run a madrasa, it's very hard to be a soft nature. Because then the students can actually become your principal. And then how the madrasa runs. So amongst his first main students, he had two, Mawlana Salimullah Khan and Mawlana Yasin. And while they were studying by him, in like a 2-year period, he took them right up to the highest kitabs. So now he told them, go to Dioban to complete. So they went to Dioban and they coming out first. So the whole course of Dioban, they never did, they're doing by him. So in a short 2.5-3 year period, they already now 9-year course, they jump to the top. And in Dioban, they're coming out first. And the two of them are competing. During that time, while they're worrying about their dars and their exam, he says, I need you all to be teaching here. So they're teaching here, they're writing an exam there, and they're still coming out the best. So then Mawlana Salimullah Khan was such a master now. So now he told him, now you must help me in the madrasa. You must be my main teacher. And Mawlana Yasin. Mawlana Salimullah Khan was a little bit now more, what you call, like, always if the sheikh is soft, then the khalifa is going to be hard. So Mawlana Masrullah was soft. So Mawlana Salimullah Khan came, he was a little, he came with laws. That's why they say whenever a principal is soft, don't ever think it will remain soft after. If the sun comes, laws can change. If the sun comes, I don't know here if laws change, but a lot of times when the sun comes, boss in a shop is very soft. You see, when the sun comes, other workers swear that. They say, we just hate him. Whenever it happens, if one is soft, the other has to be hard, otherwise. So Mawlana Salimullah Khan told Hazrat Mawlana Masrullah that, you know, your madrasa is running like a house. They're calling you Abba, they're calling Ammi, Mummy, Daddy, Grandfather, Grand. There are no grandchildren. They are madrasa. He does wrong, kick him out. Kick the boy out. And Muhammad Musalla Rahma was so soft. He couldn't kick out anyone. He said, you run your khanka, I'll run the madrasa. You run your... This is not a khanka. Yeah, if a boy does wrong, gone. Gone. So even not Muhammad Musalla Khan, the Nazim also used to get cheeky. So one boy, he used to trouble a lot. Like how you say, they don't wake up. The bell comes, they make bang, 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 but you don't wake up. Best thing he did, he stole the bell. He stole the bell. So the Nazim came to ring bell, no bell. They went looking for the bell, they found he stole it. So naturally now this is like, you're not waking up with the bell, you stole the bell. Kick him out. Kick him out. One time I think in our madrasa, this was before we came, the first initial students, they were top students. So at that time there was a Nazim also, and the Nazim used to come and bang the door. Boom! And then bang, 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 wake up, wake up. Sometimes you get irritated, especially the manner he comes, gives you one, two kicks. So right there by the door, I think they put the bucket. Then you understand what happened after that. Bang, bang, bang. And then, I don't know what happened after that. I know my one friend, I met him one time. He told me, you know, that one Nazim is to kick us. So one time I filled like my blankets nicely, like I filled it, made it like look like I'm fast asleep. And I woke up early that day. And then he came, then he came and gave a hard kick, kick, kick. And see, nothing's happening. And then he lifted it up. He said, no one there. And everyone started laughing. And how angry he got that day. The boys, I woke up like, what are you kicking my kodru for? He had boys like that. I had one friend. So students were students. He got caught with the speeding with the madrasa car. So he and his friend got caught. So the police officer stopped him. And he was a joker. So he just told his friend that, do something. Like, say, do what? Act like you're in pain. So that person immediately said, ah! And the police officer came, what happened? Say, I don't know, I'm rushing him to hospital. Something's wrong, like. And the police officer said, follow me. And that was the best. But now in the car, he's ready to say, what are you going to do now? He said, just follow. And the police officer put his lights on, he took him to hospital. Now took him to hospital, they brought the trolley out. The friend said, get on the trolley. And the cop is waiting like to get like thanks to see if the guy is okay. And the cop is waiting and he's telling the cop, thank you so much, thank you so much. And the cop is saying, no. And the guy has to go into the hospital. How he went there? I said, what happened after that? He said, hey, the cop took so long, so long. But as soon as the cop got down and to go, his friend is like sitting, and the nurse is checking up. And suddenly he says, it's miraculous. It's gone, the pain. Those are madrasa students. Today they are big aliens in the world. Big aliens. Once upon a time, what people did. In a madrasa, you get all those characters. All those characters. Allah's Nabi Sassam was that mark. That he knew you will be students. You will have workers. You will have a wife. And when he had that, أَنْتُمُ التُّلَقَةُ, he said, I forgive you all. I forgive you all. What he wanted in it. He wanted that the world must hear that. And they mustn't just say, wah, wah, what a Nabi. They must say that I am the son of that Nabi. And normally a child is told, follow your father. And that is how every Sahabi was. They took immediately from the mirror. That's why he said, my Sahaba. There's one weak narration, but the meaning of it was very general. He said, they're like stars. How you become a star? You reflect from the original. They're the star. What he wanted is he wanted all of us to become that star. So you read Sirah, you read Anat, you hear Anat, you know the meaning, even if you learn little of the meaning. The purpose of memorizing Ash'ar, Nats, Quran, is I'll repeat something so many times, it will settle within me. So this is a beautiful Nat, I've heard it a lot of times. And I heard a lot of people hearing it. But most of the people who hear it, they just move like, and ask him, you know what it means? Say, no. So you're getting half the job. That moving also is good, but the other half you miss it. Allah make it such that whenever we read it, we think about there must be some meaning in it, and then you'll see some meaning, and then you'll say, is this within me? This is called what? Seerah. This is why Jalsa normally of Seerah takes place, that I love to be with my Nabi, but there's another thing that we also want, I love to be like my Nabi. I love to be with my Nabi. There's another one, I love to be like my Nabi. So in becoming like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'll mention one amal. We spoke about the different salahs. It was those salahs that he brought to us. He wanted us to get it no matter how hard it is. He wanted us to get it. He spoke about the fajr. He said, don't miss those sunnah. Even if that animals, meaning even if you fear the attack is going to happen, they're rushing with the animals, you read your two sunnah. You rather die after that. Don't miss your sunnah. Then he spoke about the first sunnah of Zuhr, two after. We spoke about Asr, even two rakats. He said, Rahim Allah Imran. Allah's mercy, he just enters, at least it is two rakats. Now we come to the hardest one, which he spoke about 2 weeks ago, which was that? Loudly, tahajjud. Hujud means, I told you, hajada, it doesn't mean juhdun. Effort, it means not to sleep. Hajada means not to sleep. So the basis of tahajjud is to delay your sleep. The best of tahajjud is to wake up, but that's very hard. Basis, the best is to wake up. But the basis of the tahajjud is not to sleep. So it means you delay your sleep a little. You will do the narration, it comes in the Musnad of Imam Darimi, a narration. That waking up at night is very hard. Making up at night is very hard. It's called juhdun. Juhdun wa siqlun, very heavy. You will understand that. Like how he mentioned a few weeks ago in his bayan, I see all of you doing good exercises. He says, but I see that you can't lift up that 1 kilo blanket. That it's not the blanket that's heavy, it's sleep. Very hard to wake up at that. So one narration that comes in Mishkat is, that even after your witr salah, if a person can just read two rakats after that, it's not easy. Because already you're tired with Isha. Four rakats. Two rakats sunnah. Three rakats witr, you say, whoa, now I'm dying. But then you just read two rakats. That two rakats also is your beginning tahajjud. In the narration it comes that that will also be just two rakats after your witr. Just two rakats after your witr. Try that inshallah. And then in Allah Tawarukala gives the chance, we spoke about it, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's first words when he entered Medina Munawwara. He taught us to make salam. He taught us to learn how to feed. And he said, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسُ نَيَامُ. I know there are some students in madrasa. When I see everyone fast asleep, you'll see them on the musalla. It's very good, more and more students must have it. There must be times when you will say, I have to be on the musalla. The closest you can get to Allah is when you're there and nobody else is there. And you don't have to feel shy about it. No one's going to tell you since when you became pious. No one's going to tell you tomorrow you never wake up. You can start once a week. You can start twice a week. It's not easy to push yourself. It's not easy. But when the habit comes, then it's very hard to leave the habit. What will happen with tahajjud? Inna nashi'at al-layl. Nushu means to stand up. To come alive. He says, the one who awakes at night, comes alive at night. You are like dead, because sleep is the sister of death. So you are like dead. Suddenly you start waking up. Waking up at night, he ashaddu wat'an. Wat means to stamp on something. You take your leg and you hit it hard. That is called wat. Ashaddu wat'an, the most severe stamping on your nafs. The most severe stamping on the nafs is not what a sheikh can do. Many people in tasawwuf, they say the greatest sheikh or the sheikh worse than the normal sheikh is who? Who do you think is someone who's more chikiya than a sheikh? Who? A wife. The sheikh greater than the sheikh is the wife. She's the sheikh of the wife of the sheikh also. A wife is the sheikh of the sheikh also. Sheikh goes to the khanka, they all respect him, he shouts all of them. They put his shoes right, they give him water. Sheikh goes home, he says, can I get water, get it yourself. That same Hazrat Muhammad Masjullah Rahmatullah Ali. For some reason on that day his wife wasn't in the mood. So he brought guests home. Imagine this one, this is on the height of tolerance. He brought guests home. And when he brought guests home, he went to the kitchen and he said that, and he used to call her my princess. Like, my princess. He said, my princess, there are some guests here, you got some food. And she said, you think I'm a cook for your madrasa? He said, straight, you think I'm a cook for your madrasa? And they heard it. Now that's the worst. That's the worst. He said, yes, what you're saying is right. He came out to his guest. He says, what she said was right. I never marry her to cook for you. She has to cook for me only. Let's go see in the madrasa if there's food. He said, I never marry her to cook. This one you must just make sure women don't hear this one. Otherwise you next time will hear, you think I'm your cook. But imagine his tolerance. He told him, you think I'm your cook of your madrasa? And he said, you're right. And he went out, said she was right. Because he knew they heard it. And he was like normal. He was like normal. He said, actually she married me to cook for me, not for you. Let's go see in the madrasa. You madrasa, mehman. I mean, you came to see madrasa. I'm going to cook for you. Why she must cook for you? Imagine that level. So that's why a wife will stamp. A wife can stamp. But harder than the wife is the hajjud. Tahajjud will stem this nafs. Because tahajjud, 3 rakats witr, my nafs tells me, finished. I'm going to manage 2 more rakats. And at that time you tell your nafs, I want to stamp you. Stamp you. We'll have to someday in life stamp this. It is this nafs that gets stamped, then you'll never have peer pressure. Because peer pressure is when the nafs says, give in. And you will say, I stamped you so much already, just shut up. And there's no peer pressure. Friends will tell you, take a puff. You say, I don't want to. You say, take a puff. You say, I don't want to. But if you have never learned to do this, then you will feel shy. You'll shout the boy, why you did it? You say, I was shy to say no. Because you never ever said no. So Allah Tabarakala brought an ibadat to get us to that level. Me and you need that ibadat. Stamp on the nafs wa aqwa muqila. The second thing of tahajjud is, during the day we'll give bayans. Our ear will listen to the bayan. The boy gave a bayan. He heard it. I heard it. The heart hears it. And slowly it trickles into the heart. But Quran mentions the time where the heart hears the best is at the time when you alone speaking and no one is listening. And that is tahajjud time. If you read Quran tahajjud time, when people are sleeping, wa aqwa muqila, your qawl, your sentence goes directly to the heart. Inna laka fin nahari sabhan tawila. During the day Allah says you got a lot of work to do. Use the night to stem the nafs and to pierce the heart. Allah Tawarakala bring this. This ibadat of tahajjud has left the ummah. It has left us the ulama. There was a time when it was part of everyone 1 hour, 1.5 hours. It was part of life. That was the time when there were no lights. So at night at 8 o'clock it was too dark to do anything. So you had to sleep at 8 o'clock. 8 to 9, 9 to 10, 10 to 11, 11 to 12, 12 to 1. 1 o'clock, half past 1, you already slept 6 hours. Without you wanting to, you have to wake up. And that was tahajjud. Now they would wake up, husband and wife, on the musalla, 1 hour, 1.5 hours. That was life. Then light came into the world. And light supposed to bring light, but it brought darkness. Light brought darkness. It's an amazing thing. Today the electrician came. I told him, Allah reward you, you came. Now light has come in our life. He told me this. He said, I hope I never brought darkness. Light sometimes brought darkness. Roshni. You know Roshni. One day someone phoned the madrasa. He said, there's no light in Roshni. Roshni means light. So at that time, ESCOM was having problems. So they phoned. They said, today, Roshni me Roshni nahi. That today there's no light in Roshni. No light. I asked him, is there ever light in Roshni? That was the bad days of Roshni. Roshni got lot light now, inshallah. So someone, light came in life, darkness came. When light came in life, darkness came. They used to wake up. That sunnah has been abandoned. Who will revive that sunnah? Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib would repeat this hadith lot. That the best of this ummah, the best of this ummah, Hamalatul Quran, are those who will carry the Quran. But then the narration doesn't end there. It says, and they are the ones, Qa'imul Layl, who you will find standing at night with Quran. Best of this ummah, Hamalatul Quran, the ones who will carry Quran, but the ones who at night will stand for Allah. You can try and revive the sunnah. When you do it young, it becomes a habit when you're old. You can stand with your Quran. You can read your Quran. Because you're reading Quran all day. So you already know your door. You hit that para. You already got it in your mind. Now say Allahu Akbar. And don't feel shy to read a whole para in tahajjud. Read it in 2 rakats. Read it in 4 rakats. Don't feel shy. Because it is not just an ibadah. This is your islah. Ashaddu wat'an, you will stamp on that nafs. Stamp on that nafs. Stamp on that nafs. Later on, people will ask, how come you never do what others did? He said, my nafs had no life left. I stamped on it so much, it said, I give up. Allah Tawarakala grant us. Shah Waliullah Rahimullah wrote in Hujjatullah al-Baligha, فَلِلسَّحْرِ خَاصِيَّةٌ عَجِيبَةٌ فِي إِضْعَافِ الْبَهِيمِيَّةِ. Early in the morning, there's a unique effect in it in weakening the animal nature of me and you. Early in the morning. He says it's like a potion for poison. For this reason, he said, the habit of people of the past, when they wanted to make their animals tame, تَسْخِيرَ السِّبَى, they had a wild animal. They wanted to now make sure it's tame. وَتَعْلِيمَهَا الصَّيْدِ, they wanted to prepare it for being a hunter. I went the other day to one friend, he had caught that falcon, or whatever animal it was, and he was now training it to work for him. But to make sure it works for you, and that thing, it's not, it's a small bird. But if you go in that cage, you will understand that small bird can tear you into pieces. Everything in its body is sharp, and its speed is like a bullet. So if you just enter, in 1 second, it's like an arrow going through. You won't even see it coming in. Everything is just cut. That's how it hunts. 1 second. Now he got that in his cage, and now he has to learn to train it. And to see that manner of training. So they say in the past, to train that wild animal, لَمْ يَسْتَطِيعُ إِلَّا مِنْ قِبَلِ السَّهَرِ وَالْجُوْ. Two things they would do. Sahar, they would take away sleep. Jew, hunger. Even in the military, on that high level, what they do, just when the man gets used to falling asleep, so they work him, and he's tired. As soon as he closes his eyes, bang, wake up. Hey, please not now. Just falling. Wake up. We went to spend time in the company of Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib at the time when he was old. We had a very nice time. We spent about 4 months in his company. During that time, I think every few days I used to say, I wonder where I'm going home. This 4 months is not finishing. Then I knew that last in the ending it was supposed to be 3 months. And then we were supposed to go in Jamaat. So I was like waiting. Once you go in Jamaat, now you go to that place, like you see the madrasas. Move around a little bit. And just when it came to the last now, we were told the Jamaat Sati is like next week we're joining. And then he called us in the room and he said, you know, I'm an old man. Maybe when you come back again one day I won't be around. So like you only got 1 month left. You don't want to spend time with Akhtar. And I'm thinking like you know, we promised the Jamaat and you can't. And my brother said, yeah, no problem. I go, wow, like no problem. I was always the naughty one, lazy one. My brother was like proper. Zarakim's son Muramazar, when Jamaat came there, so he said, I'm taking you to Kashmir, like in the mountains of Kashmir, and we see this madrasa and this madrasa. And I was so happy, like we leaving the Khanka. And then my brother said, no, we came here to sit in the Khanka. I said, what? Not going. I never saw Kashmir because of that. The whole Jamaat went. All those students, the whole Jamaat went. They saw Kashmir and where and where. And me, I sat in the Khanka. I said, my father said, we're not going nowhere. I said, not going nowhere. Now when this last one came, Mr. Kim Sa said, 1 more month. I said, 1 more month. Now in that last month, nothing happened. Nothing happened. Except that I got sick and I went to hospital. That was my one Islam. Maybe that's why I was punished for wishing to go. But one thing I remember is, in the last month, Hazrat Hakim Saab, and you all understand this, I mean, if you had to see when he would come to South Africa, there was no place to even get into a room where he is. Everyone was there. All the madrasas, the teachers, everyone. And now when you were with him in Pakistan, and you wishing he doesn't call you. So, total opposite, like. Because why? He was calling us sleeping time. So during majlis time, there we would come in and then we would pass all the other people, even you come in late and go sit in front. That we were very happy with. We were like the guest. So we make sure we're always in the front, not outside. Otherwise you come late, you were sitting outside on the road. We'll go and sit in the front, and a lot of the ashar, we never knew what it meant also. And we used to shake our head this way, that way. But now, sleeping time. Because we had our qailula time. And if you don't sleep that time at night, you're suffering. Because till night, till 2:30, they carry on. So the qailula was like Jannah. And in Pakistan, when you get that sleep, now you hit that 4 hours sleep for qailula. And we would just fall asleep. First day it happened, and the khadim came. And he said, Hazrat, yaad farma rahe. Meaning, Hazrat is thinking of you. You get so excited. Hey, he's thinking of us. Maybe something's happening. You're going to get khilafat. Suddenly make wuzu, we run there. Nothing's happening. He is fast asleep. So did he call us? Like, and now the fan is on. And we just came there like. And then we sat. And sitting, falling asleep. And like, what? Like, and then. Asr azan went. And we didn't go for Asr, and we're tired now. Something happened. And the next day now, and we just fall asleep, and the khadim comes and says, Hazrat. We're thinking like, well, maybe yesterday he fell asleep because he was old. He come there again like he wants to tell us something. Sleeping again. And the khadim is massaging, and we just sat. And then I found one place to sit there that if I sit and I fall asleep, he can't see me. My brother had to sit the other side. He saw my brother. And it would carry on like this. And now we knew already, our qailula is gone. Like. We knew it. We used to wait for that knock. We knew that knock is coming. Get 10 minutes sleep. That knock is coming. And then you try and sleep in his room. It's not easy to sleep in the room. Because you're sitting and our qailula went. And I never understood what was the benefit of all those days. We just used to dread. You know when I told you, today, Hazrat is calling you and you're dreading. Hazrat, please don't remember me. Please don't remember me. So my qailula is going. And come, Hazrat Yad Farmare. And he said, ah. And we always thought he was fast asleep. And then one day in that last period, where every day it was carrying on, one day he said, you two boys, you'll go back to South Africa and you can sleep how much you want. He said, make a few more days sabr with Akhtar. Few more days sabr with Akhtar. And even then when he said that, I like said, eh. Very hard to make Samaran Akhtar. There's nothing happening. Like, he said, few more days. You can go sleep how much you all want. Later on, I learned that if you want to break someone's nafs, take away his sleep. You want to break his nafs, take away his sleep. He broke our nafs during the time. And we never even knew he was breaking it. Take away the sleep. Imagine I do that tomorrow in your qailullah time. But I don't need to do it because Aftab says the his boys do it for him. Just when he falls asleep, bang, 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 bang. You want to make your tarbiyat, learn to wake up for the hajjut. Take away your sleep. Put that alarm clock on and force yourself up. May Allah tabarak ta'ala grant. When you get older, it's harder. When you're young, you can do anything. Certain days, there's no madrasa. Friday night, you know, there's no madrasa. Saturday morning. Start doing it. The hajjud has to come back into the ummah. Allah grant me tawfiq. Grant all of us tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyi al-kareem. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.